Fighters, it's time for the Thursday Q&A episode here on the Contractor Fight podcast. We take your questions and we answer them here on the show. Send your questions to help@thecontractorfight.com with the subject line podcast to get your questions in front of us. Tom and I will pick the questions that are the most relevant to the people here in the fight. You guys rock. Let's do this.
Fighters, what is your profession? Anyway, Dan, what's up, man?
I am ready to solve the world's problems today, Tom.
Well, good, because we got a couple. Q&A episode here, Contract Fight. Appreciate you guys being here. So I'm pulling up a couple questions that we got. This one could... we're not going to turn this into a one question this episode, but literally I could do a half-day workshop on this question I'm about to put out. So I'm basically setting the expectation right now that I'm not going to be able to cover everything. We're not going to be able to cover everything that we want to in this answer, but we're going to give some highlights. Dan doesn't even know the question, but I know us enough to know that we have a lot more to say on this, and there's a lot of other things involved. Okay. Ben asks, have a question for you all. How do I go about setting up a commission only sales team? So far, I've been running all the estimates and sales myself. I'd like to know how to hire for commission sales. I've tried Indeed and had no luck. I suck at being a teacher as well. I feel like people like my personality, how I present myself professionally, but relaxed to the customers. I don't know how to teach that. Any tips and advice? So let me start, because I knew this was coming and my mind has already been on it for a couple days. Most people, the first thing that jumped out at me here with Ben's question was, you know, I've been running all over doing the estimates and sales myself. So that's issue number one, that if you're running around doing estimates, you're setting yourself up to be kicked in the dick every day. Okay. That's just number one. Let's just get that out of the way. And of course, I'm going to sit here and go, Dan, if you're not pre-qualifying the way we pre-qualify in the Shin Fu, you are, again, kicking yourself in the dick. Okay, so oftentimes we see people that go, I need a salesperson. And it's, no, you don't need a salesperson. You need to grow a fucking pair of balls and do things in an uncommon way that are efficient and that are best for you, best for the customer, more respectful for everybody all around. Okay, that's what you need before you need a salesperson. Now, I don't even know the size of this guy's company. To be honest, I didn't even click his profile to see what he does. Okay, which is why I said I'm not going to be able to answer this fully, because it's more of a workshop thing for me.
It's huge.
Here's the other thing. Most trades companies will never be ready for a sales team. Okay. Now, I know there's solar and there's roofing and things like that. And that's a different animal. Okay. A lot of door-to-door sales and all that other bullshit and storm chasers and commission only, and they're making a couple hundred grand a year in commission. You know, I get that. Okay. Or like a big window company, right? Anderson and Pella and all these, you know, Milgard or whoever you want to talk about. Like if you're a replacement window company, again, things like that lend themselves more to like a commission only sales team. But for the majority of contractors that are painters, that are, you know, remodeling contractors, stuff, you guys are never going to scale your business to the point where you need this big fleet of salespeople out there on commission only. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not the nature of it, because number one, you only have so much capacity, right? Very few companies. Now, you certainly can scale over the years, you know, and, you know, I've known many remodeling companies that have 3 or 4 full-time salespeople out there, but they were not commission only. Because again, see, dude, I have like so many little angles to this.
You go all day.
Experiences, like, and I'll use an example. There's a painting company in Colorado that operates from the top of the state to the bottom of the state along the whole front range of I-25, Fort Collins, Denver, the Springs, and Pueblo. Okay. Or as some people say, Pueblo. But anyway, he's 12 to 15 million bucks a year. Mm-hmm. He has a commission-only sales team. And they literally, their only job is to go out and write bids. Okay. They do like those money mailer things. And those,
I was about to say, I remember you talking about this.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And the problem is I know somebody that is very intimate with this business. I can't give it away because it would fuck it up. And this person that I know that's very intimate with this business says, the guy doesn't make that much money and never has return clients because it's just a, you know, they sub everything out to whoever wants the fucking project. And it's just a shit show. And there's a lot of chaos. And it's just not, now, if that's what somebody wants to do, go for it, right? But you still got to produce the work. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's, I know that's an issue in today's environment as well. So back to this, setting up a commission only sales team. Let's just say it was me. I'm the only sales guy in my company, you know, whatever I'm doing. And now I'm going to hire a salesperson because I'm feeling overwhelmed. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, if I go and I just give that new salesperson a bunch of those leads that I'm already getting, is he as good as me? Can he sell as good as me? There's going to be a ramp up period of him understanding our culture, him or her understanding the culture and learning how to sell and all that other stuff. In most cases, a commission only salesperson, you guys, is not, or any salesperson. And I'll tell you right now, like if I quit the fight tomorrow, went into sales, if I couldn't make at least $250,000 a year as a salesperson, I'm not interested in the gig. Right. Okay. So the bare minimum, a good salesperson is going to want at least control over their destiny of making at least six figures a year. Well, in order to do that, you guys, you got to sell so many jobs. And in order to have those jobs, you got to have so many leads. And in order to have that many leads, you got to invest more money into marketing. And this is just what I see. And I don't mean to pick on Ben. I don't know Ben's the guy, Ben, here who asked the question. Yep. I'm not saying this is the case with him, but just my experience has been most guys have no fucking idea how to ramp up their marketing and turn the marketing machine on and generate enough leads to generate enough sales that help the business grow. And often what happens when somebody hires a commission-only salesperson, they end up making less themselves because that person is getting paid the commissions.
Yeah, taking money from one pocket to the other. Yeah.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So yeah. Dude, I could go for days on this. What we ended up doing and what we coach a lot of people to do is let's work on ourselves first with our sales process, mm-hmm. drive up our ESR, our effective sales rate, which if you don't know what that is, I'm not going into it today. That's fine. We teach it in our workshops. But then we also teach you to make everyone in your company a salesperson. Teach your person answering the phone or hire pink callers because they're certified in our pre-qual process or whatever it is, right? Teach them how to pre-screen and really do proper pre-qualification. Teach your crew leaders or your foreman how to upsell and give them targets to do that. And what I've found when I've done the math, Dan, I know I'm totally hijacking this question.
It's all right.
I'm almost done. When I've done the math with companies, we usually find that if I just got better in my sales process, trained my guys to sell, the gross profit we were making as a company was often more than it was if I were to hire a salesperson when you figure in their commissions, increased cost of marketing, and all that other shit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm not saying like you shouldn't want to hire salespeople. Here's the last thing, the second last thing. Commission only, you got to have a shit ton of leads. All right. If you're not commission only, I want my salespeople to be building relationships, to be networking. And so you have to pay some sort of salary for that portion of it, where right. they're building their own pipeline. And a true salesperson knows that it takes a while to ramp up to where you're making big bucks. So all these things are rolling around in my head right now. I don't even know if this helped anybody, but that's when I have this question because we get this a lot. Like, and it's always, I need a salesperson. I'm like, show me the math.
Yeah. Well, I think often people are delegating away their own headaches. Like he's missing dinner with his family and sitting in traffic all day. And you know, me is like, the salesman to me, that's the most important job in the company. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you do. Without sales, your fucking team's sitting on the sidelines doing nothing. Yeah. And so I can speak for myself. Like I'm a good sales guy, not to be a toot my own horn. So it's hard for me to replace. I've tried to replace myself several times. And what came best for me was, well, I was never in the production side, like scale up your production so you can produce more stuff if you want to grow your business, but then focus yourself, delegate all the bullshit away. And focus on selling if that's your jam, if that's what you're really good at. And this, you know, Ben saying he doesn't think people like his style and they like all this stuff and people can't find it, then okay, lean into that, train yourself up, get some systems to become more efficient and become the best damn sales guy in your company. And then I don't know if he just wants, I don't know if he's on the tools, wants to be on the tools or not, but yeah. And then your second point about making the whole team salespeople through upsells, it's just force multipliers at that point. Because everyone on the job is one, looking for work, They're not just showing up and scraping a house or whatever. They're looking for opportunities for more sales. And they're also, when you teach somebody how to sell and they understand the math of running a business, suddenly they're more mindful of production hours and material costs and everything that goes into running a profitable business. Mm-hmm. So educating your crews on selling and how to sell profitably will increase your business through every level, I found as well.
Yeah, I'm a fan of growing my own salesperson from the crew. I just personally like that. We did that in one of my old companies, and he went on, and after I got out of that business and this mm-hmm. and that, he was the full-time sales guy there. And then he ended up getting, I think, poached by somebody, one of our competitors. And to my knowledge, he's kicking ass there. And that was great, right? So this whole thing of, I'm thinking of Steve, you know, Schinholzer in our group, right? Obviously partnering up this and that. You guys, Steve was able to sell his pond business, did $1.5 million a year for multiple millions of dollars because he didn't do all the sales. Now, so don't mistake me. I think it's wise to build your business to a point where you're not responsible for all the sales. But what Steve did is, you know, at least a third of his income every year, their revenue was generated in upsells with his two main foremen. You know what I mean? So, and this all goes to somebody's goals too. Like, what's the goal for your business? What do you want your life to look like? That's why this is a half day workshop, right? We could dig this apart.
Full day workshop.
Yeah. His company had a higher valuation because other people in his company sold. So that means when it sells to a new buyer, that new buyer owner comes in, doesn't have to, you know, ramp up all these sales and shit like that, because it's already happening. So anyway, let's go on.
You even have to answer a phone when the customer wanted to add something, a feature to a pond or do something additional, because this guy just took care of it and allowed him to focus on new leads and or taking a bath or going to a movie, whatever the hell Steve likes to do. So,
and in Ben's case here, you know, you're overwhelmed with leads and estimates and all this other stuff. This is where I'm like, if lead flow is kick ass, then learn how to pre-qualify properly and raise your prices and bracket with higher numbers. And that way, I mean, and that's what Steve did. Steve, for every 100 leads that came in, Steve sold 15 jobs, but they were at his price and
on his schedule too.
Multi-millionaire over and over, right? Yeah. Because he was so fanatical about his process and protecting his time.
Fighters, most contractors are undercharging for the value that they bring. We're always preaching you got to get a 50% gross profit on your work. So many of you, so many contractors are confused on how to do that. And that's why we have our 50% sheet. It's free. You just download it. You have instant access. If you want to grab it, head to thecontractorfight.com/50 and start dialing in those numbers and making the money that you deserve. It's time to quit stealing from your family. Go to thecontractorfight.com/50.
Okay. Another question here we're going to dig into, and then we're going to get out of here. And this is another full day workshop.
Cliff Notes edition of Q&A.
Oh boy. there was a post 4 days ago or so that was rolling around the free Facebook group. And I didn't reply to it because I knew I was going to do something here. I'm seeing a lot of advice on this post that is, quite frankly, shitty advice. You know, there's some decent things in here and stuff, but I'm also very, I'm very protective of this topic. Question was, I'm trying to get business on social media and nothing works. I do these posts. I'm paraphrasing a big question. I do these posts. I show before and after pictures. And there were a couple screenshots of like a post that said, hey, now booking projects, blah, 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 call our number on Instagram and shit like that. And this person was like, is just struggling selling any work on social media. And again, I have you didn't know this was coming either. So it's not fair to you so I'll start again. The number one thing, you guys, I want you to understand this in your marketing, whether it's paid, whether it's social media, I don't care what you're doing. You have to root it all in your stories that you tell. Dan's nodding right now for those that obviously can't see him, because we talk about this in the fight all the time. Guys, we have a multi-million dollar business here right now in the fight. We virtually don't do any ads. If we do an ad, it's just an ad to get our book for free. We have an ad, I think, that's starting soon about joining our Contractor Sales Pros Facebook group. And other than that, every post you see that we do on social media for the most part is a story. I mean, Dan, you told the story about your exhaust of your truck killing a lady's rose bushes and she told you to turn the truck off, and you told this whole story and you connected it to being in control of your sales process, and it moves people's hearts. Okay. Right. And that's what I've had a couple people here over the last couple of weeks for coaching days with me. And we spent the majority of each of these days that I was with these clients talking about how to tell better stories in their marketing. And so again, we could talk for days on this, but if you're not having success on social media, you're not telling the right stories. You're not connecting emotionally with people. You're not letting them in to who you are as a human being. And I see this all the time, dude. And I unfollow people. If I follow somebody on Instagram and I see a post that says ABC painting now booking exteriors, call this number, I unfollow that person.
You are adding no value. It's springtime. Of course you're booking exteriors right now. Yeah. I think you hit on the head with the stories, but when you're not getting feedback, you're not speaking to the customer. Like, you're not educating them something that's interesting to them. You're not making it relevant to what they're looking for. And, you know, before after pictures, people know I'm a painter. We're a professional company. We have before and after pictures. That doesn't move them, because every single thing on their social media is the exact same image. And we all look alike when we're doing that. So I would say, other than what you just said, the stories, and find something that's relevant that speaks to their emotions. People buying emotions, that's the number one motivator for them.
Yeah. And again, we want to differentiate. All your competitors are doing the same shit. And listen, I know there's guys that are listening to this going, well, I crush it with, you know, Facebook groups and stuff. I go in and somebody's like, anyone know a carpenter? And I do a post and they hire me. Okay. All right. I get that. That's the exception. It's not the rule. All right. There's always an exception. But what I'm just telling in broad strokes here, the better you are at telling stories, meaning every story doesn't have to be about your trade. I mean, shoot, yesterday, Craig was here for a coaching day and he shot a video with me. And his video was basically, I was standing there and he's like, hey, everybody, I'm in Colorado Springs here with my coach, Tom Reber. I'm working on getting better in this area, and blah, blah, blah. And I got a lot of growth I need to personally do and this and that. I'm curious, what are you working on right now in yourself? How are you getting better today? Share below. Okay. So guys, that's an example. It's a quick little story of what he's doing. And then there's a call to action that says, share below. Mm-hmm. It isn't buy my shit. It's what are you doing? Or it could be, we talk a lot about coaching people, Dan, to talk about their company values in their social media. Tell a story.
Right.
You know,
because people hire companies that share their values.
Exactly. You know, and it doesn't mean like, you know, if I look here at Play the Long Game as one of ours, right? We believe in playing the long game and everything we do. So if I'm running a painting company and that's one of my values, and I spot something on the job site that supports that value, I'm going to shoot a video on the spot or take a picture of it and tell a story. And I'm be like, hey, one of our values in the contract or ABC painting or Tom's painting or whatever is play the long game. And what that means to me is this, you know, it means that we're looking for lifetime relationships with people. We're not looking to just come paint and leave, never see somebody again. We want you to have that box checked forever. We want you in our world. And we know in order to do that, we need to continually prove ourselves and earn your confidence and things like that. And so a story I want to tell you here and why I took this picture, why I'm doing this video, is right here on this job site, I turned the corner and I saw this thing in the back hallway, eighth spare bedroom closet that nobody ever goes into. And I saw a drywall patch in this tiny little closet around the back wall of it that you don't even see. And I'm so proud of my crew today because they actually fixed this thing.
Right.
And nobody would ever, I mean, I'm just making this up.
It's true. I did one where I was just driving by a house and there's a shutter hanging because we had a nor'easter blow through and we just stop and fix it. And the customer, it's like, that's it. And, you know, going back to those Facebook group comments you had, I do well in those Facebook groups too, like mom's groups. I don't, it's not because I'm in there stalking new mothers and being a creep. It's because they're telling stories about the experiences they had working with my company. And that's what's getting these other people to call me. Like, Dan's crew was meticulous and they they didn't freak out my kid or wherever it is. Like, those are the stories that are getting my phone to ring, because people, that's what's resonating with the other people in that group. It's not me saying, now booking, you know, new nurseries or something like that. So
contractors and business owners try so hard to separate personal and business. And I personally just don't roll that way. I think it's a mistake. Like, for instance, and this was even before social media was big, when we were adopting my daughter Iris from China, all three of my kids are adopted, but in particular Iris, we shared with our database, like literally we shot an email out that said, hey, if we're a little slow getting back to you over the next couple of weeks, please be patient. Tom is on a plane to go get his daughter in China. And it made me human, you know, or my partner, Bruce, at the time, I remember he blew his knee out and then had like surgery. And then literally at the same time, his daughter blew her knee out. And we took a picture of both of them on crutches. And we said kind of the same thing. It was, you know, a year later or whatever, but like, hey, a lot happened in here this week in the company. And if it seems like we're dragging our feet or something, we literally are, because two of our people blew their knees out. And we sent the picture out and we told the story of how it happened and shit. And dude, we got, for both those things, we got cards at the office. We had people calling us. There were flowers sent. I went out to a customer's house to sell her on a project. I walked in and she hands me like a $100 gift card and a basket and stuff, Target, you know, for our new baby from China. I mean, this is the stuff, guys. This is the unfair advantage that you have over your competitors that have big, huge companies and bigger brands and shit like that. You have this power of connecting with people. And if you're not succeeding in overall in your marketing, but specifically social media, this is where I would start. I would really let people behind the curtain. You know,
almost makes them like a referral at that point, right?
Yeah. Or listen, I would even, I know we talk about, you know, not running around for free and, you know, missing family dinners and things like, guys, that's a story. Mm-hmm. That's a video. Hey, one of the questions we get from a lot of people is, why don't we just drop everything and run out and meet with somebody on a Sunday or a Thursday night at 5 o'clock or 7 o'clock or whatever, and this and that. And on the surface, it might seem that we're not trying to be accommodating and not trying to earn your business. Okay? But here's the reality. I've been doing this for X amount of years. In the first 10 years of my business, I missed family dinner probably 3 to 4 nights a week. I didn't honor commitments because I miss my daughter's baseball softball game or my son's this or that. You know, tell those stories and connect and go, so this is a flag we decided to plant in our business that a lot of people talk about how family is first. And I'm winging this here, guys.
That's my objection to people with my scheduling restrictions. Like, hey, do you have a family, Tom? So I do too. I want to see him like for dinner Saturday. So let's figure this out.
Yeah. And so, and then I would go, that's why we ask you to send some pictures over and we'll give you a call, you know, not only because we also think it's right for you. And I would tell the story how it's right for you. Like, I put myself in your shoes. You can even tell the story like, hey, last time I got bids from contractors, I was waiting 3 weeks to have people come out and see me. And it was inconvenient. It added to my to-do list that I'm waiting on all these things. And it was a pain in the butt to even have a conversation with somebody. And so out of respect, we just want to cover this quickly and see if we can even help you with the thing that you want. And we can give you kind of a ballpark of where it might fit for the money and things like that. And then if it makes sense for us to get together in person, we're happy to do that. But like, this is the, you know, I mean, you know this, and so many guys listening to this know this, like how many hundreds of fucking estimates did you run on through the years and you came home with a goose egg? You know, and it was unfair to your family. It was unfair to you. I mean, Dan, we talk about this a lot internally here in the fight. Like, not only is it fuck up your bank account, but how many guys blow off the gym and their hobbies and playing in a band or whatever they used to do because they don't have time anymore, right? Yeah. Or how long has it been since you took your lady on a date and shit like that? Because all you're doing is running around doing free bids and typing shit up. Guys, these are stories to tell. You know, that's my encouragement here. For anybody on this whole thing that's not getting work from social media, you're most likely not telling stories and you're not consistent enough and you're not connecting with people. And when you do, the floodgates open and you will have connections with people. You know, I mean, I told a story. I told a story once. I'll end with this. I got a project off this. Couple of them. I went to a auto shop, the dealer or whatever, went up to the service counter. And I'm standing there, and there's an old man next to me. He's wearing a Navy veteran hat. Remember the story?
Yeah, that's a great story.
And he's holding his door handle in his hand at the counter. And I walk up next to him, and there's a bunch of people in the waiting room and stuff, probably 15 people sitting there. And this old man walks up, got to be 85, 90 years old. And he says to the guy behind the counter, "Yeah, I grabbed my door handle and just broke off, came off in my hand." And I chuckled. I just kind of laughed, right? And he looks over at me, this crusty old man. It was really cool. He looks over and he goes, "What the hell's so funny?" You know, he just calls me out on it. I just said, "Well, I was just thinking it's a good thing you're not a Marine or the whole fucking door would have come off." And the whole place erupted and laughed their asses off, right? And he laughed and we shook hands and it was funny and everyone was a good sport about it. Well, I basically told that story on Facebook. This was before I even knew about telling stories, right? I just happened to share it on Facebook. And someone that I was friends with, their relative was like a veteran, and they saw the post, they laughed at it, they contacted me in a DM, and I ended up selling them like a $10,000 job because it made me human and it connected. We weren't just running a fucking ad or saying, "Buy our shit."
Yeah, everyone agonizes over like, what content? What do I use for content? And they, you know, how do they be different in the shit? And I think it's Brad Lay is like, be the content. Yeah. Just be yourself and be the content. And that is what works. That's what people are interested in. You know, it's like you do it every day. You do it standing in line to get coffee. You do it at that auto repair shop. You know, you're just doing you. And the people that are attracted to that will engage. And the people that don't, like, fuck them. Who cares? Just like you do in everyday life. It's like not everyone's your customer and not everyone's your friend. So,
yeah. So, I mean, how many times have I told the story through the years of the lady? I said, what's the worst thing that happened on this paint job with whoever you hired? She says, "You wake up my fucking babies, I'll kill you."
Right. Yeah.
And I've told that story for years and it connects people because they can relate to it. And I would use that even in sales calls. I'd be like, "Hey, Dan, you know, what's most important here?" Sometimes you get crickets, right? They're like, "I don't know. I just want my house painted," or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you go, "Well, the reason I ask is sometimes people tell me things like this." You know, right. Like one lady was like, "Don't wake my babies up because they only sleep like an hour and a half a day and I haven't slept in 3 months." Mm-hmm. And it's the only time of day I can have some peace and quiet. And I tell that story, or I'll tell the story, you know, another of the guy who, you know, the biggest thing that they were concerned with was her father-in-law or whatever it was had emphysema and lived in the house and she was afraid that we were going to get a lot of dust. And then I would turn around and go, "Is there anything like that that we should know?" Like that alone, that storytelling, you're connecting with people. You're showing mm-hmm. them that you're not just out there to run a tape measure, figure up some math and go, "This is what it costs."
Yeah. Versus like, you know, the old thing of like seeing a picture of Billy with a soccer ball on the fridge and like being some disingenuous conversation yeah. about fucking youth soccer, where it's more like, "Oh, you hear a baby in the background, bring that up."
Or, soccer?
Yeah. Is your dog a runner? Like, we have to be really careful about your gait when we're working here so it doesn't run. You know, it's just like pick up those cues and engage them that way versus the typical way that people do.
Yeah, so guys, storytelling, I'm telling you, and I'll tell you this, it's the longer play. Okay. It's not as fast or quote unquote simple as running an ad. Okay. And I'm cool. You want to run some ads, but tell stories in your ads.
Okay? It'd be a shortcut too.
Yeah.
That might be the one that like, people are like, "Ding, this is my dude." Mm-hmm. You know, versus like the six anonymous businesses that they spoke to previously.
Yeah. So look at the best marketing in anything you do. There's always a story. There's always a connection. You do that, it changes the game. You'll sell your work at higher prices. You'll establish expertise. You'll connect on a human level. And that will justify your higher prices right there without you having to say a word and defend your pricing and shit like that. So, all right. Anyway, Dan, I know you got open coaching here. You got to run in Battleground and I got to get going and do some other shit here today. Good hanging out with you.
Always.
Hopefully your finger gets better from your header into the tub.
All things heal eventually, I'm told. Except for your ego, right?
Guys, give us a review. Share this with another contractor. Don't forget to get your Mile High Profit Summit tickets at thecontractorfight.com. And we'll see you guys next time.